from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Getting around the NFL with the OG John Lopez, Figgy Fig, on the other side. And, Shad Khan, owner of the Jaguars, putting his team on notice.
Listen, I haven't had you on camera since the signing of number 16, so I'm curious about your thoughts about that negotiation, how that went, and having Trevor along with this stadium and pretty good coach as well going forward with your franchise.
Yeah, I think, you need all of that. And I think we're sitting in this building, you're looking at that. Expectations should be up too, that, for us, winning now is expectation. So I think, obviously I've talked to Trevor a lot over the last few years, and, from really, that was COVID year, even before the draft. So I'm really, I think he represents the city, he represents the Jaguars. I couldn't ask for anyone better. And obviously I was hoping that would get done before this, but I'm glad it did get done.
Now, when you hear Shad Khan, who speaks very monotone, when you hear Shad Khan tell you, hey, you know what, we need to win. We need to win now for a franchise that for a decade hasn't won.
Yeah.
Is there more pressure being put on the team by the owner, or is there more pressure being put on Shad Khan by himself by kind of making a demand statement? If they don't fulfill that demand, who does that fall on, the team or the owner?
He's putting pressure on the team. I mean, I don't even think it's close. Do you? Because we talked about this a little bit earlier, and so just to reiterate that one part that I think is important, I love the fact that he is doing this when so many people are sort of in their cocoons or in hiding and lying and covering or saying nothing. He's like putting it out there. I like that. I think more people should do that. I also, and this might be a little blasphemous to say in this town, I kind of like Shad Khan. I kind of like the fact that he went and he needed a stadium. He didn't get all $1.4 billion from the city and the state or county or wherever he got it. He put up $800 million of his own money. I like that. Like, yes, you need to have the help of your government to build these types of enormous structures. And the team delivers a lot of stuff to the city as well. But he put his own money up there. He called out his team directly. I think it's fantastic.
Now, understand when I say this, I don't mean who is Shad Khan putting the pressure, but from, say, media fan point of view, is there now more pressure on the team? Is there more pressure on him if the team doesn't succeed?
No, I still think it's
the team. It's on the players.
I still think it's on the team. Yeah. Do you?
Look, I think, they got this whole thing wrong when they hired Urban Meyer. That was just an absolute train wreck catastrophe.
Yeah.
I think Peterson's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a guy who's won a Super Bowl, and I know there are winning Super Bowl in multiple places is not exactly something that's gotten done a whole lot. The idea of if the team doesn't succeed, is it on the coach? Is it on the general manager? Because the general manager is a guy who once got ran out of San Francisco for deliberately tanking his own team and then not being able to rebuild it mm-hmm. because of his personal tete-a-tete with the coach.
Yeah.
So where does the reckoning fall if the success doesn't happen?
Yeah.
Because I think right now, yeah, they just paid a lot of money to their quarterback, and they do have some talent on that team. But if you ask me right now, more talented team, Jacksonville Jaguars, Houston Texans, it's not the Jaguars.
Yeah.
So that pressure, he's putting pressure on that team to win. I don't know if they're good enough to
win. I think Doug Peterson is going to be on the hot seat if it doesn't work out, if not gone. Because you can't fire Trevor Lawrence.
Now you can.
The owner's not going to fire himself. The general manager seems to be at least in good graces for now. And I'm not saying there's going to be any pressure on him. But I think Doug Peterson, hey, we brought you in, man. You got a ring. You know, like what's going on here? I think it's going to be on him.
Mike McCarthy, you heard the stories about, is he fed up with Jerry Jones? Mike McCarthy's had enough. Well, are those stories accurate? Is Mike McCarthy really, truly fed up with Jerry Jones?
Show earlier this week was the Ty Dunn report that Mike McCarthy's been a little fed up with the whole concept of all in. And my response to that was, if it's true, can you blame him? What light can you shed on this conversation as we head into the Cowboys training camp season?
I would say this, Rich. Mike McCarthy has worked for Jerry Jones for the past 4 years. Every day that you work for Jerry Jones, who is a brilliant businessman, you know Jerry might decide to go on the radio or talk to the media after a game or say something that generates some type of buzz and creates things that then you're answering for the following week. Jerry saying all in, I believe that happened at the Senior Bowl, is just one little fleck of paint in the tapestry of everything that Jerry Jones has surrounding that organization all the time, which certainly from a business perspective has helped Jerry Jones be a very, very, very rich man. At times from a football perspective, maybe some of that stuff is disadvantageous. I don't believe that Mike McCarthy is thrown by any of that at this point because he knows Jerry. He knows the conversations that he has personally with Jerry Jones. Now, you know, when there's a lot of wisecracks on social media about every time they sign another UFL player of all in, Cowboys are all in. Like it becomes more, I think, of a media thing than anything else here. No, I don't believe that Mike McCarthy is in any way affected by something Jerry Jones says, just because Jerry does so much. If anything, knowing Mike, and I've known Mike since 2007 when I got on the beat at the Green Bay Press Gazette, going into a contract year as a guy who's led three consecutive 12-win teams, disappointing endings, no doubt about it over these past couple of years here. But Mike just wants to go out, kick everybody's ass, get a new contract, and go try to win Super Bowl. That's his focus at this point.
That is the loquacious Tom mm-hmm. Pelissero on the Rich Eisen Show. This idea of, you know, is Mike McCarthy kind of fed up with Jerry Jones, and look, Jerry's public need to be front and center in things. Are you buying the idea that that McCarthy has had enough, or are you buying the idea that Mike knows who and what Jerry is, knew what it was when he signed up, and it's just noise?
I'm buying it, and the only thing I'm wondering is, why did it take this long? Because everybody knows what you're signing up for with Jerry Jones. He's not dumb. He knew. Love it. It's Cowboys. Great roster. A lot of money. maybe the most popular team on the planet, but I know it's I'm going to have some bumps because it's Jerry Jones. So he knew what he was signing up for. But that said, once it, you know, the rubber hits the road, it can get more frustrating. Like, you know, it's going to be there's going to be some issues. But man, this is starting to bother me. You know, I think Pelissero is probably protecting his guy there a little bit. You can tell they're really close. I think Mike McCarthy absolutely is getting, you know, getting frustrated. But he absolutely knew it was coming, too. You know,
I mean, what's their biggest offseason move?
Who wouldn't know that?
Their biggest offseason move is what? Bringing back Zeke Elliott?
And then there's that. The football aspect is frustrating, too. I'm talking about just, like, personalities and demands and loquaciousness and the way he, you know, he handles himself in the public and has to be in the middle of everything. I mean, Jerry Jones will say anything.
Because I feel like that's kind of like part of the equation, like, when it comes to McCarthy, right? This offseason, the Cowboys have done very little to improve their team. And as you heard Pelissero say, hey, we signed a guy from the UFL. Like, we're all in to win this year. It's like, if you were all in to win this year, you were signing guys like the first 6 days of free agency, not, hey, we grabbed a guy off a UFL roster who, you know, it might be on our practice squad. It's hard to look at the moves the Cowboys have made and said, oh, they're in. They still haven't replaced Amari Cooper, who they gave away for nothing, and they didn't do anything to add back to that position.
Yeah.
And they basically put it all on CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee's got to face double teams every snap, and the guy's just unbelievable. I mean, he just continues to produce, but you've limited your team to, hey, it's Dak, it's CeeDee, and, well, we don't know what else yet, right? It's just those two guys.
Yeah. Zeke.
And then you've got, you know, Jerry Jones does his weekly radio hit on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and, you know, oh, well, you know, we like this coach. We might like that coach.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are
Who doesn't
you,
see that coming?
Why are you sandbagging the coach?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
you've
what he
done
does.
Nothing. But yeah, that's it. It's Jerry.
Yeah.
And Jerry will say whatever is on top of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't necessarily thought it out. And when you ask about it again in a week, he'll even tell you, well, you know, I hadn't really thought that out. It just kind of came in my head.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the joy and the pain of Jerry Jones. He tells you exactly what he thinks in that moment, but subject to change.
Yeah. And so who in this, since the early 2000s, wouldn't know what you're signing up for with Jerry Jones? So he knew.
I think it's just
even though you know, it just kind of grates at you, you know? And look, he also knows he could very easily and may well be fired this year. You sign on with Jerry Jones knowing you're going to get fired.
There's not a rhyme or reason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Barry Switzer got hired basically to give Jimmy Johnson the double rods.
Yeah.
He kind of screwed over Wade Phillips to make Jason Garrett the head coach. Garrett never had the same success, but had the longest leash in history. Jason Garrett was to Jerry Jones what North Turner was, you know, to the Spanos family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't matter. Oh, we won 8 games? That's okay. We fired a guy who won 14. You won 8? That's fine.
Yeah.
And it never really made any sense. But no, I'm with you. Like, Mike McCarthy took this job eyes wide open. He knew what he was getting into. He's got a chance to win. And the rest is noise.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of things going on in Dallas, a judge dismissed a sexual assault lawsuit against Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. It comes on the heels of the Dallas police announcing in May they had insufficient evidence to support a criminal case against Dak and would not press charges. This comes from a alleged 2017 incident where a woman said Prescott assaulted her in the back of an SUV in a strip club parking lot. Reason number one why guys should not be going to strip clubs if you're in the NFL. In fact, doesn't your former and now current teammate, Ezekiel Elliott,
he's had some issues.
His case is the number one reason. That was the case where the NFL established a precedent. We don't need evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We can suspend you for this because we said so.
Yeah.
Like, even though he is getting cleared by, you know, a court or a play, that doesn't mean that the NFL isn't going to turn around and step in and be like, Well, we think he still did something anyway. Four games.
Yeah. He was in the back of an SUV at a strip club. We don't like it. Whatever. Anytime these things come up lately, I truly don't know. Whatever you're predisposed to believe, yes, no, did this, didn't do that, made up, you know, whatever, you're going to believe. All I know is the decision-making, if he was in fact there and you know, doing whatever, you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. People know you. I mean, people know who you are and what you, you know. I told, you have to understand who you are when you get into any situation like this. It's just crazy.
You're the quarterback of the Cowboys. You can't be slumming at the strip.
No matter, as innocent as it ends up or not, like, just the image of it is what's going to be bad.
It's like, you ever hear of Tiger Woods? Right? Yeah. Don't go to the local, like, Perkins or Shoney's or whatnot. Okay? You got to be, you know, a little more high-end than that.
Did you see Stephon Diggs? I was showing, while we're at around the NFL, I was showing Figgy this before the game. And you've said, like, one of the things in this second offseason is don't get arrested. My thing is, no dumb injuries, please. No stupid injuries.
No ATVs, no jet skis, no motorcycles.
So Stephon Diggs, I think he was still in Europe. And so he was like at some gym and he was on a Pilates machine. If you haven't seen it, look it up. It's on Twitter. Like, he's doing some stretching and all this. And all of a sudden, like, either his hand gives way or something, and he slams face first into the Pilates machine and rolls off of it onto the ground.
That hurts.
I was showing figures like, this is what worries me. Like, just stupid, you know, non-football related, non-training really, although I guess he was stretching or whatever.
Why does this need to be filmed? Like, why are you filming
people
yourself?
People do that in health clubs all the time now. It's kind of silly, but whatever. Whatever you want to post, go for it. But yeah, could you imagine? Yeah, Stephon Diggs is going to miss the first whatever of practice because he fell off a Pilates machine in France. Whatever.
You're in France. Why are you on a Pilates machine? Shouldn't you be skiing?
I think he was catching some balls from CJ Stroud at one point.
I mean, if I was in France, I think I'd be, you know, touring, skiing, eating, just, you know, not going through the river of poop, of course. Well,
he's got to get in and stay in shape, though.
You saw the whole thing on the river of poop?
Oh, yeah.
The sign. It's been illegal to swim in this river for 100 years because of how polluted it is. But we're going to clean it up for the Olympics. And they're going to swim in it. Hell no. Hell no. That is crazy. Coming up next, the things that got the internet going nuts on the loop.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I got the internet going nuts.
What's got the internet going nuts?
I got the internet going nuts.
Lopez, if you were a single man and you were on the old Tinder,
man,
and you had a date with not one but two hotties,
yeah.
How would you feel that would go?
Not well. Even if I were single, I'd be terrified.
Well, for a Chilean actor,
I saw this.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Alex Araya apparently may have been drugged in a Colombian Airbnb in Medellin. Gee, of all places, in Medellin, right?
Oh, so I'm going to go on a Tinder date in Medellin,
the home
Colombia.
Of the cocaine.
Yeah. I'm going on a tour. Where are you going to pick up these two girls? Oh, Medellin.
Drug capital of the world, well, right? Going to Medellin.
Make sure all your affairs are in order.
And apparently he went out with these two women, brought them both back to his Airbnb. 2 hours later,
he gone.
The chicas leave.
Yeah.
And in the morning, the cleaning crew finds his body.
I'd never heard of this drug in my life.
So,
Burundanga.
Burundanga, apparently. Yeah. Now, I'd seen this on a, I don't remember if it was a Law and Order or if it was an FBI. It was one of those shows where the girls come in and they inject them with this stuff that basically like leaves them like comatose.
For like 24 hours or you die.
Yeah. Well, the problem is if it's too much, you die.
You die.
You're supposed to give them a little bit so that they're out of it for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then they ransack the place.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up, doesn't know what the hell happened, and they're robbed and they got nothing.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they are very much into giving them too much. And this is like a thing. This is like becoming rings where there's a lead-in woman whose job is to seduce you.
Yeah.
And get you like ready
and out of sorts.
Hey, let's go back to the hotel.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you don't realize it, bam, she hits you with the needle.
Yeah.
And then lets her buddies in. They come in and they ransack the place.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really a TV only type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this is very real.
It's rampant.
Oh, it's definitely real. You see that in like the, I want to say the stripper scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where they do take a guy back to the house. And it's not exactly like that, but. The guy get robbed
because
even if they just roofed
him. Yeah, it's not like a little pimp and the whole thing, but it's some guys that's controlling all of this, and they robbed it. The woman pretty much set the guy up to get robbed.
Yeah. You know, Figgy, admittedly, I am not really aware of the stripper scene.
Yeah, I mean, we only see the stuff on TV, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of stuff going on. They doing other stuff to get their money.
Is anybody look? I get Tinder. I get a lot, especially young folks, whatever, you want to hook up, you know, whatever. It's
supposed to be hair pulling and butt smacking, dying.
Yeah. No, I'm not ignorant to Tinder. What I'm saying, though, is if I were in that game, even like just an honest Tinder date or whatever, I would never feel comfortable. Like, I don't know if I would ever feel like, all right, cool. Because like, if you're on it, she's got to be worrying about you and your intentions. And if I'm on it, I would really worry about like, you know what I mean?
You have no clue who this person
is. Definitely not day one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Day one, it's like, all right, I'm going to get to know you a little bit, and then you go your way, and I'll go my way, because, I'm not trusted whether or not there's a gun in that purse.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some kind of something you're going to inject me with or some crazy nonsense. Yeah. What happens if you just turn your back and then bam, you get stuck with a needle. You have no idea it's coming. Yeah. Next thing you know, you wake up like 24 hours later and you have half use of your body and everything in your place is gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, hell no.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, so this is... I didn't even really know much about Kelly Stafford at all.
I don't think anybody did.
And I had so much respect for Matt Stafford, and I don't blame him for this, but I cannot tell you, like, every day, the amount I despise Kelly Stafford just seems to grow. So last night, did you see this, Fig? So last night, she goes to a concert in L.A. I think it's in L.A., wherever it was. In L.A., to watch Chris Stapleton. With her husband, with Matthew Stafford, post a little picture, arm in arm, watching, you know, somebody took it, watching Chris Stapleton. And then she does two things. She posts, apropos of nothing, I mean, she's just at the concert, but she knows the heat she's getting. She posts, realizing how many insecure men there are out there. So grateful I married the complete opposite. Loved last night. Hashtag joy of my life. Hashtag Chris Stapleton. And then she turned off comments. So first of all, how did you end up marrying the joy of your life? Oh yeah, by deceiving everyone involved and sleeping with his backup quarterback, and all these years later bragging about it, includes saying it's working, you know, her plan and all this other stuff. And then she drops this, and when you turn off comments,
yeah,
you know the heat is there, and you know that you did, you know, you've been getting destroyed.
That's always such a coward move, man.
You turn off comments.
Apparently she even went back at Joe Cox, the backup quarterback,
yeah,
after she name dropped him and brought him into this whole thing,
yeah,
then goes into a different IG post and says, you had zero involvement in, yeah, what I spoke about. Oh, he was very involved. Oh,
he was,
honey,
involved. Is that how much you thought of it?
I mean, he didn't even have a choice in being involved. He probably didn't even know that you were like, although, I mean, listen, I think you got to be aware. This is the chick who's dating the first stringer. Now she's coming to me. She must have got dumped.
Dude, no matter how it happened, but she absolutely, it was a plan. She even said in that, it's working. Oh, Lord. Because he was like,
would you ever date the immediate ex of a teammate,
that's
a friend?
Always weird. Like, probably not. No, probably not.
Because I remember, you know, when I was in college and a teammate of mine and his girlfriend broke up, like 4 days later, she was like coming after me. And I was just like, not today.
Yeah.
Like, we ain't doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, why? I said, because I already know too much about you. That's why.
Yeah.
And you're not what I want. Bye. Next.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because she wasn't hot. Like, this was me definitely outkicking my coverage.
Yeah.
But knowing her track record is a month. I'm not burning a relationship with a teammate because,
and it's not even that,
hoeing.
Yeah, it's just like, that's too close. It's too much familiarity.
It's too much drama too.
Yeah, drama and familiarity.
I'm not trying to be Eskimo brothers with nobody.
Yeah.
I got the internet going nuts.
Bleed for weed. What do you think about that, John?
What about it? Tell me about it.
Bleed for weed. So the blood drive in Illinois, in Rockford, Illinois, not by the peaches, in Rockford, Illinois, the Rock River Valley Blood Center and Life Cannabis teamed up to launch the Bleed for Weed mobile blood drive, where if you went and gave blood, you got a choice between receiving a 1/8 of a flower,
mm-hmm,
or 100 milligram edible.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 50 donors even got a t-shirt.
How about that?
Ooh.
Cannabis t-shirt, I'm guessing. Or hemp, I should say.
Looking at the crowd lined up.
Yeah, they were ready to give some blood.
It was definitely more diverse, mm-hmm, than any crowd any political candidate would put out. There's old people, there's young people, there's people of every different ethnicity and background, and they're all out there to bleed for the weed. Would any of that encourage you to go and give blood? And if it is, do you choose the flower or the edible?
I'd probably get an edible and give it to one of my sons. I'm not against weed, but it's not my thing. Here's my bigger point. This is a brilliant strategy. Absolutely brilliant. It goes back to my theory that long held, and listeners have heard me say it before, the help the little old lady across the street theory. You know, in other words, you're with your girlfriend and trying to impress your girlfriend, so you help the little old lady in front of you across the street. You're just trying to impress your girlfriend, but she still got across the street. Like, the ultimately was still a good thing, even if your intentions were not, you know, pure. You're just trying to impress your girlfriend. This is the same theory. I don't care what you're doing it for. You're still getting blood donations. You know, like maybe you just want it for just in it for the weed. Doesn't matter. You're still getting blood donations, so I think it's awesome.
I don't know how much an eighth of a flower is.
How much is 100 milligrams? We need Tyler in here.
I mean, 100 milligrams, like you take about how big the small Tylenol is.
Yeah.
That's usually like 220. So it's like half of that.
Yeah, but how impactful is it, you know?
100 milligrams is probably like a Tic Tac.
I don't know.
But, I mean, hey, for a free edible, I mean, I do it. I mean, I don't take edibles on the regular, but I will say I've had good experiences with edibles. I'm a fan of the edible.
First of all, I just found out that there's a website called WikiLeaf.
Leaf?
WikiLeaf. Leaf. It says, that's pretty funny. 100 milligram edible is about 1/10 of a gram of a flower, but the effects will be much stronger due to how it's being absorbed in your body. So it's probably get you pretty high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I just want to take it and go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
I want to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, but now, unfortunately, I can't give blood.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a hereditary condition that prevents me from giving blood. It's called thalassemia.
Thalassemia.
As I violate my own HIPAA.
What is it?
It is a hereditary condition that causes me to be anemic at all times. Not extremely anemic, just enough that I don't hit the requirement to be able to give blood.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is it's also known as Mediterranean anemia. Irish people aren't from the Mediterranean.
Oh, so wow.
How exactly
you got it?
Did I get this? Because according to my family tree and lineage, there's no Mediterranean in me.
You're Irish. Or is there?
So somebody somewhere down the line was a bad boy or girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wound up with thalassemia, and it didn't manifest until I was 22.
I used to be so good at it. I need to get back out at giving blood. I used to do it every chance, like every 3 months, I believe, is when you can do it. And I've just kind of gotten lazy on it. I need to get back on that.
All right, let me get one more quick one, man. In here.
I got the internet going nuts.
So authorities say that a man flew nearly 1,000 miles to attack a fellow gamer with a hammer. This happened in Fernandina Beach, Florida, because, of course, Florida.
Yeah.
Where an online gaming dispute caused a guy from Jersey to fly to Florida and attack another player with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Kang is charged with attempted second-degree murder and armed burglary with a mask. And the Nassau County Sheriff said, "I just want to let you know this is a weird one. Some things you just can't make up." They were playing a game called Archage, which I've never heard of, but it's a medieval fantasy multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
So Kang flew from Newark, New Jersey to Jacksonville, Florida, telling his mom he was going to visit a friend.
Okay.
They don't know how he found out this kid's address. Took an Uber to the hotel and then bought a hammer at a local hardware store and went after and attacked this guy, although the injuries are not considered life-threatening. I took a look at the picture.
What is the attraction here?
I don't know, because they said a man, and I'm looking at this picture, and I swear to God, that's a woman.
It looks he's not real masculine. Let's put it that way.
If that person weighs 105 pounds, if that dude showed up with a hammer, I'm like, dude, can you even swing that thing? This is why you attack somebody with a hammer and they don't even have like any kind of serious injury.
Yeah.
I mean, this is embarrassing that they're calling this person a man.
Yeah.
Because it's... Why don't even you call that? What is that look? I can't even say it's androgynous because I'm not guessing whether he's a man or a woman.
Just a little
guy. Just look like a chick.
Just a little guy.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get beat up by that dude. I don't care if it's going to happen. Coming up next, 10 games. What do you need to see as we hit the final segment on today's In the Loop?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I feel like the Cars are a very underrated band.
Oh, I hope not.
And
not in my house.
You know, I feel like Rick Ocasek married way over his...
Hey, man, rock and roll, baby. You play the guitar in a rock and roll band, you're set.
Who's gonna tell did... I want to say... Did he marry Paulina Pariskova?
Yes.
That's a score.
Yeah.
And I only know her from one movie. The movie with Tom Selleck. Where they're on the circus.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick Ocasek, not a good-looking man, married a woman who was, like, super good.
Doesn't matter. All of us marry up.
That is what rock and roll does.
Yeah.
All right, 10 games on this Astros road trip. As I say, you know, what do you need to see? But I was taking a look at something on the game matchup site, and according to ESPN's matchup predictor, which is their analytics, it gives the Mets a 52.1% chance of winning tonight.
Yeah.
When I look at the game odds, the Astros are plus 150 on the run line at minus 1.5. So they're the ones that they're they're the actual, quote, favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Money line is dead even, but the analytics say the Mets are going to win. The Vegas says, well, we're favoring the Astros. And then you look at the pitching matchup tonight. It's Ronel Blanco and Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
Blanco's 8-2, 2.34 ERA, and is basically a lock to be on the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
Quintana's 3-5. With a 4.58 ERA, he's given up a hit in an inning, and he's allowed 12 homers. Starting pitching is a big indicator of, you know, who you expect to win a game. How is the team with a pitcher whose ERA is half of that of the other pitcher not massively favored by, like, I don't know, any analytics?
They're hot. It's as simple as that.
They're both hot.
No, I know. I mean, they're almost you shared some of the stats earlier. Like, it's almost mirror image. But when a team is hot, it's like, yeah, he's got a 4-whatever ERA. That hasn't mattered in the last 20 days or 15 days or whatever it is. No, I think that's – I would actually stay away from this. Like, I gamble here and there almost. I pick my spots. If I'm going to watch the game, I gamble because I think it makes it more interesting. I would stay away from this because, I mean – the Mets are, you talk about the 10 days. Okay, so you got Mets, then you got Blue Jays, and then you have Twins, right?
Yes.
Four against the Blue Jays.
Yes.
These are not gimmies by any stretch.
No, these are pretty good teams.
They all of them.
Although the Blue Jays have badly underperformed.
Yeah.
But the Twins are a solid team.
I think they're in the wild card
right now,
right?
The Mets are scorching hot.
Yeah.
The, the Astros are scorching hot. One thing that I find interesting is, you know, Citi Field is a pitcher's park.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Minute Maid plays
it's
pretty
here and there.
Square up.
Yeah, it's here and there.
It plays pretty square. Obviously, the boxes mm-hmm. are homer friendly, but most of the rest of the park is a tougher place to hit other than, say, like real close to the pole right field. But you get to the power alleys and center field, it's a tougher place to hit,
mm-hmm.
and it plays out as an even park. Citi Field plays out as a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
They've moved the fences in. It still plays as a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
Ronel Blanco, who the only way to get to him has been, hey, you hit a solo homer here or there, now gets to play in at a field where it's kind of hard to hit homers.
Yeah.
I like my chances with Blanco in a pitcher-friendly park.
If I had to pick one, I would clearly go Astros, not because I'm a fan, but because of that and because the opposing pitcher is, even though they're hot, he still has that high ERA, and the Astros could maybe do that little five spot in the first inning like they've done recently, and then that's that. But I still would probably stay away from it. I just think these 10 games, getting back to your first point, if they go 7-3, I mean, it's on. It is on. That's a good 10-game stretch. Like, that's a real good. I don't care about Blue Jays underperforming and kind of sliding. They've been pretty good. They have some good elements. You know, they have some good pieces. Mets are really hot. And the Twins are ahead of you right now, at least in the wild card.
If you're all in, are you getting a first baseman? Are you getting a starting pitcher? What is your priority list?
To me, it's got to be a starting pitcher. I don't trust going. Today is a halfway point. Game number 81 today. You're going to go 81 more games and with this starting pitching staff? I mean, the odds are very much against you, especially when you have a pitching staff like the Astros that seems to be cursed, you know? I know first base is an issue. I'm not saying I would not prioritize it, but my first priority would be another pitcher.
I think starting pitcher's got to be number one. It might even be number two.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when Verlander's coming back. Like right now, they don't think that he's going to miss 3 months, you know, sure, or go to the middle.
Sure.
But they just don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Luis García made his first start in the rookie league, right? FCL Astros.
One inning.
He threw one inning. He struck out two guys. But it's rookie league. The timeline on him from the Astros, as they put out earlier this week in their game notes, the timeline for him is end of July, early August.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers Jr. is 2 to 3 weeks behind García.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait 2 months to address the starting pitching.
Right.
You need another starter right now.
Mm-hmm.
If Verlander is going to miss another three starts or more, you need two starters right now.
Or a big time middle reliever that can maybe swing a little bit in different scenarios, you know? But you do need two. And again, it comes back to the same thing we've talked about forever. It's like, how are you going to get them? And you're not going to get this whole Vlad Guerrero thing yesterday. I was just rolling my eyes like crazy. And all due respect, but I mean, you can't afford that guy, because especially with the bidding that's going to be going on for him.
Well, the bidding is the issue, right? Yeah. Because technically, he's got 1 year left of arbitration, and then he's a free agent. There is going to be something about how many people could afford his salary, number one.
Yeah.
But when you talk about, there's only like five teams that you look at and say they're sellers. If the Jays come out and say they're sellers, then you are going to be in a fight to get Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yankees are going to try to get him.
And, you know, how much are you willing to give up? And, I mean, look, Vlad Guerrero has previously been on record for each of the last several years saying he would never go to the Yankees. It's a personal thing with him and his family. And then he totally walked that back last week.
Yeah.
Which, whether that's because he got told, hey, you know, the Yankees can drive up the price, they'll give you a lot of whatever it is, he walked back something that for years he's been adamant, no way in hell would I ever play for that franchise.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason he did that.
To get the financial, there's dollars.
Yeah.
The idea of what are you willing to give him, what are you willing to give him, is directly related to, are you willing to sign that guy long term?
Yeah.
I understand you're not willing to sign Bregman to an 8-year deal because he's an older player. I understand they're not going to be willing to sign Framber Valdez. It's going to be north of 30.
Yeah.
What's the reason to not sign Kyle Tucker? Because if you're not going to sign Kyle Tucker, who's your own dude, and granted, he'll be 1 year older than Vlad Guerrero Jr.
When old.
When they hit their thing, because Vlad will be 27.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker will be 28. Historically, the long-term deals that get handed out to guys 28 and younger, they succeed. It's the ones that get handed out to guys 31 and older that fail horribly.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to pay Kyle Tucker, why would I expect that you're going to pay Vlad Guerrero Jr.? I had actually asked Adam Spillane the other day, because, you know, he used to work in the Rockies organization.
Yeah.
I said, can Ryan McMahon play first base? Not has he ever played there, but is he going to be any good, or is he going to suck playing first base? And he said McMahon could absolutely play first base. The issue is, the Rockies are a strange organization who, even though it might make perfectly great sense to make a trade, they just sit on their hands and do things that are like to the detriment of the organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was looking at his contract. He signed 3 more years, but his number, like, his salary is not like crazy.
No.
And like, that's a guy, as you've heard Dana Brown say, we want to get a guy that's not necessarily going to be a rental. We don't want to give up a lot of prospects for a rental. We want some kind of control. Well, he'd give you control. He's a solid bat. He's a pretty good glove. But if they're not interested in participating, you can't make them.
And I you know, going back to some of the things they need to move, the starting pitching and relief pitching, they still need to figure something out at first base. I mean, and how do you get there from here? I mean, Dubon can do everything, but man, that's a big ask.
Defensively on the infield, Mauricio Dubon can do
You'll be fine. Yeah.
His bat is not a first base bat.
Exactly.
You know, and I know everybody loves Dubon. I love Dubon. But Dubon's not a starting first base.
He's contact, smart hitting, no walks, no big long balls, you know.
Super utility role is the perfect role for him.
Yeah.
Because it gets him a decent number of at-bats. He's a terrific glove anywhere in the infield. He's certainly playable in the outfield. Mm-hmm. But he's not a starting first baseman. So
what do you do?
You're either looking at Joey Loperfido, or maybe you're looking at Will Wagner, who's hitting the hell out of the ball. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hit for a lot of power, but high average, high on base, draws a ton of walks, walks more than he strikes out. Those are important things.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how you're playing it this year, because I don't look at Josh Bell as a good investment.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso is also another one that's been mentioned.
Yeah.
An arm and a leg.
Yeah.
You think Pete Alonso's not looking at the Crawford boxes going, yeah, lunch.
Give me that. Yeah, give me that.
But if the Mets decide to sell him right now, they're a game out of the wild card, so why are they selling?
They're not going
to
be doing that.
He would cost an arm and a leg to get,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to fight off the Cubs to get him. So there's just not a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to find a way to fill that from within, and maybe it's Will Wagner, and maybe it's Loperfido. I know they like Loperfido as an outfielder because they've seen him make the catches. They've seen him make the throws. But there's got to be where you're looking at it and saying, all right, we're going to do something or we're not going to do
yeah.
something.
All right, let's get with the drive. Ron?
Yeah, man, I was listening to that conversation, an interesting conversation about the moves with the Astros.
How do they get what they want?
Yeah, to me, I heard you guys talking about Dubon, and my thought is, why? Is it just because of the way his bat is? And that is not typical of a first baseman. To me, on this team, with what the Astros struggles with in terms of their ability to make moves, because, hey, man, they ain't got no prospects.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got to give away somebody from the big league club to try to make that thing work. I just look at the production of what Dubon is. And when Dubon has gotten every day at bats, he's been around a 300 hitter. He gets on base, and he has this unique just kind of ability to come up with big hits and big moments.
Yeah, that's why I said pitching is number one for me.
Yeah, that's
absolutely it.
Yeah, I'd love to have somebody else at first base and have, to be honest with you, I'd like him to be the everyday center fielder. I don't know what he did to lose that job in the playoffs, but whatever.
Wait, you want Dubon to be the center fielder?
Absolutely. Like the same guy who was starting in center field in the ALCS and the ALDS. Yes, that guy.
Mm-hmm. If that guy could track fly balls a little better, yeah. maybe. Well, but you can see the deficiencies in his play. He doesn't track fly balls well. He's got a good arm, but he doesn't track the ball well.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jake doesn't either.
Serious?
Dead serious.
Jake
yes,
Myers is one of the best defensive outfielders in the league.
Yeah, you're insane.
I'm not insane. And there's every metric in baseball says so.
If you believe that in your heart, you're insane, Patrick. He is not one of the best defensive outfielders in the game. Stop.
Says you and no one else. Stop.
No, says everybody else.
Says you and no one else, my friend.
He can't throw the ball to the pitcher from center.
He doesn't have a great arm, but he runs everything down.
Let's chill, man. Yeah,
hey, a guy with a great arm can't track the fly ball.
Why wasn't he on the roster in the ALCS? How come they were bringing Dubon in for defensive purposes last year? Huh?
Because The manager's not here, isn't he? Maybe there's a reason for that, too.
Oh, so this manager is better than the last one. Is that what you're trying to tell me? This manager is better? Is that what you're telling me?
With this
the
team?
The guy, Dusty, who's seventh in the league in the history of the game and wins, who took you to a world championship, don't know what the hell he's talking about?
Who cost you 15 wins last year with his stupid lineups and bringing in Rafael Montero to get bombed every single day?
They were in the seventh game of the ALCS. Where is Joe Espada? Stop.
He lost this team last year. Lost them.
He lost their asses in the ALCS.
You know what? Let's back Jose Abreu fourth through August.
That's a great idea.
I'm liking
this.
Martin Maldonado and his 135 batting average in the lineup every day. Great manager.
He's a great manager.
He was.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He was a great manager.
He was. Okay. All right. All right.
I got just the retort for the both of you. This is KILT, KILT-HD2, and Odyssey Station, and the drive is live.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I feel like the Cars are a very underrated band.
Oh, I hope not.
And
not in my house.
You know, I feel like Rick Ocasek married way over his...
Hey, man, rock and roll, baby. You play the guitar in a rock and roll band, you're set.
Who's gonna tell I want to say... Did he marry Paulina Poryskova?
Yes.
That's a score.
Yeah.
And I only know her from one movie. The movie with Tom Selleck, where they're all in the circus.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick Ocasek, not a good-looking man, married a woman who was, like, super good.
Doesn't matter. All of us marry up.
That is what rock and roll does.
Yeah.
All right, 10 games on this Astros road trip. As I said, you know, what do you need to see? But I was taking a look at something on the game matchup site. And according to ESPN's matchup predictor, which is their analytics, it gives the Mets a 52.1% chance of winning tonight.
Yeah.
When I look at the game odds, the Astros are plus 150 on the run line at -1.5. So they're the ones that they're expect.
Yeah.
They're the actual, quote, favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Money line is dead even. But the analytics say the Mets are going to win. The Vegas says, well, we're favoring the Astros. And then you look at the pitching matchup tonight. It's Ronel Blanco and Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
Blanco's 8-2, 2.34 ERA, and is basically a lock to be on the All-Star team.
Mm-hmm.
Quintana's 3-5 with a 4.58 ERA. He's given up a hit and inning, and he's allowed 12 homers. Starting pitching is a big indicator of, you know, who you expect to win a game. How is the team with a pitcher whose ERA is half of that of the other pitcher not massively favored by, like, I don't know, any analytics?
They're hot. It's as simple as that.
They're both hot.
No, I know. I mean, they're almost, you shared some of the stats earlier. Like, it's almost mirror image. But when a team is hot, it's like, yeah, he's got a 4-whatever ERA. That hasn't mattered in the last 20 days or 15 days or whatever it is. No, I think that's, I would actually stay away from this. Like, I gamble here and there almost. I pick my spots. If I'm going to watch the game, I gamble because I think it makes it more interesting. I would stay away from this because, I mean, the Mets are, you talk about the 10 days. Okay, so you got Mets, then you got Blue Jays, and then you have Twins, right?
Yes.
Four against the Blue Jays.
Yes.
These are not gimmies by any stretch.
No, it's a pretty good team.
They all of them.
Although the Blue Jays have badly underperformed.
Bit. Yeah.
But the Twins are a solid team.
I think they're in the wild card
the
right
Mets
now, right?
The Mets are scorching hot.
Yeah.
The Astros are scorching hot. One thing that I find interesting is, you know, Citi Field is a pitcher's park.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Minute Maid plays
it's
pretty
here and there.
Square up.
Yeah, it's here and there.
It plays pretty square. Obviously, the boxes mm-hmm. are homer friendly, but most of the rest of the park
yeah.
is a tougher place to hit other than, say, like real close to the pole right field. But you get to the power alleys and center field, it's a tougher place to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays out as an even park. Citi Field plays out as a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
They've moved the fences in. It still plays as a pitcher's park.
Yeah.
Ronel Blanco, who the only way to get to him has been, hey, you hit a solo homer here or there, now gets to play in at a field where it's kind of hard to hit homers.
Yeah,
I like my chances with Blanco in a pitcher friendly park.
If I had to pick one, I would clearly go Astros, not because I'm a fan, but because of that, and because the opposing pitcher is, even though they're hot, he still has that high ERA, and the Astros could maybe do that little five spot in the first inning like they've done recently, and then that's that. But I still would probably stay away from it. I just think these 10 games, getting back to your first point, if they go 7-3, I mean, it's on. It is on. That's a good 10-game stretch. Like, that's a real good. I don't care about Blue Jays underperforming and kind of sliding. They've been pretty good. They have some good elements. You know, they have some good pieces. Mets are really hot. And the Twins are ahead of you right now, at least in the wild card.
If you're all in, are you getting a first baseman? Are you getting a starting pitcher? What is your priority list?
To me, it's got to be a starting pitcher. I don't trust going. Today is a halfway point. Game number 81 today. You're going to go 81 more games and with this starting pitching staff? I mean, the odds are very much against you, especially when you have a pitching staff like the Astros that seems to be cursed, you know? I know first base is an issue. I'm not saying I would not prioritize it, but my first priority would be another pitcher.
I think starting pitcher's got to be number one. It might even be number two.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when Verlander's coming back. Like right now, they don't think that he's going to miss 3 months, you know,
sure,
or go to the middle.
Sure.
But they just don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Luis García made his first start in the rookie league, right? FCL Astros.
One inning.
He threw one inning. He struck out two guys. But it's rookie league. The timeline on him from the Astros, as they put out earlier this week in their game notes, the timeline for him is end of July, early August.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers Jr. is 2 to 3 weeks behind Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait 2 months to address the starting pitching.
Right.
You need another starter right now.
Mm-hmm.
If Verlander is going to miss another three starts or more, you need two starters right now.
Or a big-time middle reliever that can maybe swing a little bit in different scenarios, you know? But you do need two. And again, it comes back to the same thing we've talked about forever. Like, how are you going to get them? And you're not going to get this whole Vlad Guerrero thing yesterday. I was just rolling my eyes like crazy. And all due respect, but I mean, you can't afford that guy, because especially with the bidding that's going to be going on for him.
Well, the bidding is the issue, right? Yeah. Because technically, he's got 1 year left of arbitration, and then he's a free agent. There is going to be something about how many people could afford his salary, number one.
Yeah.
But when you talk about, there's only like five teams that you look at and you say they're sellers. If the Jays come out and say they're sellers, then you are going to be in a fight to get Vlad Guerrero
Jr. Yankees are going to try to get him.
And, you know, how much are you willing to give up? And, I mean, look, Vlad Guerrero has previously been on record for each of the last several years saying he would never go to the Yankees. It's a personal thing with him and his family. And then he totally walked that back last week.
Yeah.
Which, whether that's because he got told, hey, you know, the Yankees can drive up the price, they'll give you a lot of whatever it is. He walked back something that for years he's been adamant, no way in hell would I ever play for that franchise.
Yeah.
But
there's a reason he did that.
To get the financial, there's dollars.
Yeah.
The idea of what are you willing to go ahead? What are you willing to go is directly related to, are you willing to sign that guy long term?
Yeah.
I understand you're not willing to sign Bregman to an 8-year deal because he's an older player. I understand they're not going to be willing to sign Framber Valdez. It's going to be north of 30.
Yeah.
What's the reason to not sign Kyle Tucker? Because if you're not going to sign Kyle Tucker, who's your own dude,
mm-hmm.
and granted, he'll be 1 year older than Vlad Guerrero Jr. When they hit their thing, because Vlad will be 27,
yeah.
Kyle Tucker will be 28. Historically, the long-term deals that get handed out to guys 28 and younger, they succeed. It's the ones that get handed out to guys 31 and older that fail horribly.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to pay Kyle Tucker, why would I expect that you're going to pay Vlad Guerrero Jr.? I had actually asked Adam Spillane the other day, because you know he used to work in the Rockies organization.
Yeah.
I said, can Ryan McMahon play first base? Not has he ever played there,
mm-hmm.
but is he going to be any good, or is he going to suck playing first base? And he said McMahon could absolutely play first base. The issue is the Rockies are a strange organization who, even though it might make perfectly great sense to make a trade, they just sit on their hands and do things that are like to the detriment of the organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was looking at his contract, he signed 3 more years. But his numbers, like his salary is not like crazy.
No.
And like that's a guy, because you've heard Dana Brown say, we want to get a guy that's not necessarily going to be a rental. We don't want to give up a lot of prospects for a rental. We want some kind of control. Well, he'd give you control. He's a solid bat. He's a pretty good glove. But if they're not interested in participating, you can't make them.
And I you know, going back to, you know, to some of the things they need to move, the starting pitching and relief pitching, they still need to figure something out at first base. I mean, and how do you get there from here? I mean, Dubon can do everything, but man, that's a big ask.
Look, defensively on the infield, Mauricio Dubon can do
You'll be fine. Yeah.
His bat is not a first base bat.
Exactly.
You know, and I know everybody loves Dubon. I love Dubon. But Dubon's not a starting first baseman.
He's contact, smart hitting, no walks, no big long balls, you know.
Super utility role is the perfect role for him.
Yeah.
Because it gets him a decent number of at-bats. He's a terrific glove anywhere in the infield. He's certainly playable in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a starting first baseman. So
what do you do?
You're either looking at Joey Loperfido, or maybe you're looking at Will Wagner, who's hitting the hell out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hit for a lot of power, but high average, high on base, draws a ton of walks, walks more than he strikes out. Those are important things.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how you're playing it this year, because I don't look at Josh Bell as a good investment.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso is also another one that's been mentioned.
Yeah.
An arm and a leg.
Yeah.
You think Pete Alonso's not looking at the Crawford boxes going, yeah, lunch.
Give me that. Yeah, give me that.
But if the Mets decide to sell him right now, they're a game out of the wild card. So why are they selling?
They're not going to be doing that.
He would cost an arm and a leg to get.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to fight off the Cubs to get him. So there's just not a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to find a way to fill that from within. And maybe it's Will Wagner. And maybe it's Lobafito. I know they like Lobafito as an outfielder because they've seen him make the catches. They've seen him make the throws. But there's got to be where you're looking at it and saying, all right, we're going to do something or we're not going to do
something. Yeah. All right. Let's get with the drive. Ron?
Yeah, man. I was listening to that conversation, an interesting conversation about the moves with the Astros.
How do they get what they want?
Yeah. To me, I heard you guys talking about Dubon, and my thought is, why? Is it just because of the way his bat is, and that is not typical of a first baseman? To me, on this team, with what the Astros struggles with in terms of their ability to make moves, because, hey, man, they ain't got no prospects.
Yeah.
And, they got to give away somebody from the big league club to try to make that thing work. I just look at the production of what Dubon is. And when Dubon has gotten every day at bats, he's been around a 300 hitter. He gets on base, and he has this unique just kind of ability to come up with big hits and big moments.
Yeah, that's why I said pitching is number one for me.
Yeah, that's
absolutely it.
Yeah, I'd love to have somebody else at first base and be honest with you, I'd like him to be the everyday center fielder. I don't know what he did to lose that job in the playoffs, but whatever.
You want Dubon to be the center fielder?
Absolutely. Like the same guy who was starting in center field in the ALCS and the ALDS. Yes, that guy.
Mm-hmm. If that guy could track fly balls a little better, maybe. Well, but you can see the deficiencies in his play. He doesn't track fly balls well. He's got a good arm, but he doesn't track the ball well.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jake doesn't either.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Jake
yes,
Myers is one of the best defensive outfielders in the league.
Yeah, you're insane.
I'm not insane. And there's every metric in baseball
If you believe that in your heart, you're insane, Patrick. He is not one of the best defensive outfielders in the game. Stop.
Says you and no one else. Stop.
No, says everybody else.
Says you and no one else, my friend.
He can't throw the ball to the pitcher from center.
He runs everything down.
Let's chill, man. Yeah,
Hey, a guy with a great arm can't track fly balls.
Why wasn't he on the roster in the ALCS? How come they were bringing Dubon in for defensive purposes last year? Huh?
Because the manager's not here, isn't he? Maybe there's a reason for that, too.
Oh, so this manager is better than the last one. Is that what you're trying to tell me? This manager is better? Is that what you're telling me?
With this team?
The guy, Dusty, who's seventh in the league in the history of the game and wins, who took you to a world championship, don't know what the hell he's talking
who
about?
Who cost you 15 wins last year with his stupid
wins.
Lineups and bringing in Rafael Montero to get bombed
they
every
single
day?
They were in the seventh game of the ALCS. Where is Joe Espada? Stop. Stop.
He lost this team last year. Lost them.
Lost their asses.
You know what? Let's bat Jose Abreu fourth through August.
Let's have Martin Maldonado
and his 135 batting average in the lineup every day. Great manager.
He's a great manager. He's a Hall of Famer.
He was a great manager.
Okay. All right.
I got just the retort for the both of you. This is KILT, KILT-HD2, and Odyssey Station, and The Drive is live.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, let's get with the drive. Ron?
Yeah, man, I was listening to that conversation, an interesting conversation about the moves with the Astros.
How do they get what they want?
Yeah, to me, I heard you guys talking about Dubon, and my thought is, why? Is it just because of the way his bat is, and that is not typical of a first baseman? To me, on this team, with what the Astros struggles with in terms of their ability to make moves, because, hey, man, they ain't got no prospects.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got to give away somebody from the big league club to try to make that thing work. I just look at the production of what Dubon is. And when Dubon has gotten every day at bats, he's been around a 300 hitter. He gets on base, and he has this unique just kind of ability to come up with big hits and big moments.
Yeah, that's why I said pitching is number one for me.
Yeah,
that's absolutely it.
Yeah, I'd love to have somebody else at first base and be honest with you, I'd like him to be the everyday center fielder. I don't know what he did to lose that job in the playoffs, but whatever.
You want Dubon to be the center fielder?
Absolutely. Like the same guy who was starting in center field in the ALCS and the ALDS. Yes, that guy.
Mm-hmm. If that guy could track fly balls a little better, maybe. Well, but you can see the deficiencies in his play. He doesn't track fly balls well. He's got a good arm, but he doesn't track the ball well.
Yeah, okay. Well, Jake doesn't either.
Serious?
Dead serious.
Jake Myers is one of the best defensive outfielders in the league.
Yeah, you're insane.
I'm not insane. And there's every metric in baseball
If you believe that in your heart, you're insane, Patrick. He is not one of the best defensive outfielders in the game. Stop.
Says you and no one else.
No, says everybody else.
Says you and no one else, my friend.
He can't throw the ball to the pitcher from center.
He doesn't have a great arm, but he runs everything down.
Let's chill, man. Yeah,
hey, a guy with a great arm can't track fly ball.
Why wasn't he on the roster in the ALCS? How come they were bringing Dubon in for defensive purposes last year? Huh?
Because the manager's not here, isn't he? Maybe there's a reason for that.
So this manager is better than the last one. Is that what you're trying to tell me? This manager is better? Is that what you're telling me?
With this team?
The guy, Dusty, who's seventh in the league in the history of the game and wins, who took you to a world championship, don't know what the hell he's talking about?
Who cost you 15 wins last year with his stupid lineups and bringing in Rafael Montero to get bombed every single day.
They were in the seventh game of the ALCS. Where is Joe Espada? Stop.
He lost this team last year. Lost them.
He lost their asses in the ALCS.
You know what? Let's back Jose Abreu fourth through August. That's a great idea.
I'm liking
this.
Martin Maldonado and his 135 batting average in the lineup every day. Great manager.
He's a great manager. He's a Hall of Famer.
He was a great manager.
He was. Okay. All right. All right.
I got just the retort for the both of you. This is KILT, KILT-HD2, and Odyssey Station, and the drive is live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.